The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum, your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. To call in live, dial anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free at 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're listening from. I apologize for my voice. I had a medical procedure 12 days ago where they put an ultrasound device down my throat, and my voice has not been the same since, but we'll muddle through anyway. My name is William Wolf, of course. I'm pleased to be your host today. Next Sunday will be Mayor Jolovitz. It is now May 7, 2023. We are halfway, actually a little bit more than halfway, through the 20th year broadcast of Middle East Radio Forum. The show is so popular, they decided to rebroadcast it Saturday evenings at 9 p.m. So if you miss it live, you can listen to the rebroadcast. Or, of course, you can go to the podcast and listen anytime you like. This show is available worldwide on the Internet on my website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. So please do spread the word about this show. This time of year, it's noon on the west coast of the United States and in Arizona. It's 2 p.m. in Chicago, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 10 p.m. in Israel. So please do spread the word about this show. We do welcome calls throughout the show. I've got a wonderful opportunity for you here. Ken Timmerman's my main guest. But, of course, we usually start, and we will today, with Yoni Titi. He's the reason I go around all week depressed. So go ahead, Yoni, depress me more.
I'm going to try and end it on an up note. Last week I spoke of how the U.S. is removing the forward-positioned weapons from Israel. These weapons are put in Israel in case we have another war like the Yom Kippur War, so there doesn't need to be an airlift to keep us fighting. And they're sending these weapons from Israel to the criminal Zelensky. Oh, my Yoni, you just called Zelensky a criminal. Yeah, I did. This pretend Jew is a criminal. Since the start of the war, his net worth has increased by over $1 billion. That's billion with a B, dollars. You want to bet where that money came from? It's my tax money, that's where. Now, it seems that the NSA has recruited more criminals into their organization. They now are recruiting Hebrew-fluent individuals, which I assume will mean these are so-called Jews.
Yoni, don't just give the initials. Give the full name of an organization, because you're familiar, but the audience might not be. NSA.
Oh, NSA is National Security Agency. They're the guys that do all the intercepts of everything you put on a computer, everything you say on a telephone. They're the ones that intercept it for the U.S. government.
All right, thank you.
Okay, no worries. But I'm going to call these people that are fluent in Hebrew, that are probably Jews, I'm going to call them what they really truly are. They're capos. These Jews are the moral grandchildren of the capos that ran in the death camps with the Nazis. For those that don't know, a capo was a Jew that worked with the Nazis against their fellow Jews in the camps. So now we have the Brandon Marxist junta taking weapons away from Israel and now increasing the spying on Israel. Last night we had the 18th week of the idiots in the streets in Israel protesting against judicial reform, and these racially motivated leftists have now added something new. They're now protesting against the ultra-Orthodox. Well, maybe they don't understand what's really at stake here. I'll give you an example of what's at stake. The Supreme Court this week ruled that adopted children that aren't Jewish do not need to go through an Orthodox conversion. Prior to this case, they had to. This poor child, or a baby, depending on what age they're adopted at, will grow up in Israel, secular in most cases, and in reality, not Jewish. 20 years later, they will want to get married, and they will find out in a harsh way that they aren't Jewish. The person they're in love with will also find out the truth and be forced into a difficult position. They can call the wedding off, get married anyway, which will create other problems down the road for their children, or the non-Jew will be forced to go through a long time period of converting to Orthodox Judaism. Why not just avoid this and have them converted pro forma, basically, as infants or small children? Oh, for the J Street punks that like to listen to abuse themselves. Yes, you idiots, we Israelis are really not interested in reforming or conserving anything. This is a perfect case to be overturned by the Knesset if only we had judicial reform. Back to the idiots in the street. They now have added, as I said, the ultra-Orthodox issue to their list of complaints. I'm not going to call on the idiots in the street, but rather I'm going to call on the rabbis in the ultra-Orthodox world. Try to understand the point of view of the rest of Israel, including me. I'm an Orthodox Jew. I served. My boys served. My daughter served, not in the army. She went Shirut Lumi. And we see the game you're playing with getting your boys out of the IDF and the fact you don't want to be part of the whole of Israel. But here's another fact. Our tax dollars support you. Change now and become part of the state of Israel, a valuable member in the state of Israel, so we can avoid bad internal problems in the future. To close on a good note, an Israeli startup has developed a breathalyzer that can detect a whole bunch of different kinds of cancer before they ever really get to the problem stage. This is the type of great thing that Israel brings to the world.
Okay, Yoni, thank you for ending on a positive note. I don't feel so
horrible. I'm going to try and do that from now on.
I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate you being on the show. Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing you next Sunday when you're on with Meir Jalovitz. Thank you.
See you next week.
Okay, Ken Timmerman, are you with us?
How are you, Bill? It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I've been better. I've got some medical issues, but I'm dealing with them. But I'm here, and I'm able to talk. My voice is a little scratchy from that procedure I had, but we will persevere here. Ken Timmerman is probably getting to be about my most frequent guest here because I really appreciate his expertise. He's a great investigative reporter and a tremendous asset. He really knows the Middle East and especially Iran. I became familiar with him when I read his book, Countdown to Crisis, about Iran and its atomic weapons development. And that's basically going to be the focus, I think, of what we're going to talk today. I do want you to get your questions in early. I don't want anybody to be shut out. It's a wonderful opportunity to call and ask some questions. Ken, let's start off with Iranian operations to kill dissidents and their supporters overseas. How often has that happened? How effective has it been? And what has been the world reaction?
Well, Bill, it seems to go in waves. There was an enormous wave of assassinations of dissidents in the 1990s. They killed over 200 leaders of opposition organizations, and then they were stopped when a defector came out of Iran and fingered them in front of a German court. The Europeans actually responded, kicked out the ambassadors the Iranian ambassadors from Germany, I think it was Britain and France, and that led to a lull for a number of years. They have really picked up since Biden has come to the White House. You have a number of efforts, some of which have touched me personally, where the Iranian regime has tried to, for example, organize phony academic conferences. I was invited to one in Zurich, Switzerland. It was supposed to take place in January of 2022. It never happened. And in May of 2022, the Times of Israel revealed that from Shin Bet, they were told by Shin Bet that a number of Israeli academics had been invited to this conference with the intention of them getting kidnapped by Iranian intelligence officials. And I was, you know, one of those people. I'm not Israeli, but I was one of those people invited to the same conference with the same emails and everything. So they are very active. Most recently, we have plots in Greece that were exposed this past week by the Israeli defense minister traveling to Greece and basically thanking them for their help again, a plot to kidnap Israelis. Last year in Turkey, the same thing. And you know what really set me off on this and got me very, very excited to talk about this today was one of the rare positive actions I've seen from the Biden administration involving Iran, and that was from the U.S. Treasury Department. And 3 weeks ago, the Treasury Department outed the people in the Revolutionary Guards Corps who were actually responsible for this. They named them by name. I've never seen anything quite like it. It was a tremendous thing. And these are the individuals who, for example, one of them is identified as being in charge of foreign hostages in Iran. Now, remember, there are a number of Americans held hostage in Iran, including Bob Levinson, a former FBI agent. And I can tell you, because I've, again, been involved in the fringes of this, that the FBI has been looking for him ever since he disappeared in 2007. And so for the Treasury Department to identify the individual in charge of foreign hostages, that's a big, big deal.
Well, Ken, if they kill 200 people, that's obviously a lot of assassins. How many of those assassins have been caught?
A handful, not that many. By the way, a couple were caught in the United States. They were caught in, I think it was 2011, for the attempt to blow up the Saudi ambassador at the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. And their plan was to hire a Mexican, drug mule to carry out the bombing attack. Unfortunately, the Mexican that they approached was a DEA informant, a drug enforcement agency informant. As I said at the time, if only they'd hired the right Mexican, they would have blown up the Watergate Hotel and killed the Saudi ambassador in Washington, D.C.
So what happened to the ones that got caught?
Well, they've been prosecuted in the United States in particular. The ones in the U.S. have been prosecuted. But in Europe, some of them spend time in jail and then they get released, either because the Iranians take another hostage and then put pressure on the governments of France, of Germany, and they release these killers and have them go back to Iran, where they're treated like heroes.
Well, it seems like the only solution is to eliminate the Iranian leadership. Maybe that's too extreme, but my naivety tells me that's probably the only solution, because otherwise they just keep doing it.
Well, I think you're right, and I don't think that's necessarily an extreme position, but it's one that would require a presidential finding and some courage on the part of American leaders. We've never seen that. We've seen them prefer to put sanctions in place. The sanctions have been somewhat effective. Under President Trump, it made it more difficult for the leadership in Iran to invest overseas. It told them that we were going to watch if they went after pro-freedom protesters. We were going to hold them accountable for that in the pocketbook where it counts. Many of these people, our listeners may not understand this, Bill, but many of these Iranian leaders have bank accounts in Germany, in Switzerland, in Luxembourg. They have companies and apartments in London. Some of them even send their sons and daughters here to the United States with green cards. So it's not as if, these sanctions are very, very real when they target the people in charge.
Well, obviously, I don't think they're doing enough, but it sounds like
it's not enough.
It sounds like the assets are available and the intelligence is available to do something.
And that is new, okay? I think that is new, and that's what actually encouraged me when I saw this announcement from Treasury a couple of weeks ago, that, yes, they have got the intelligence now to name these people.
Now, I understand that there have been some Iranian atomic scientists that have been murdered in Iran and elsewhere. What do you know about that?
Well, there have been, I forget the exact number, but probably about a dozen top Iranian nuclear scientists who have been assassinated in Iran, either by teams of two people on a motorcycle who go by and they identify them and they shoot them through the windows, or by car bombs in particular. And it's widely believed that Mossad is behind this, and that Mossad probably uses Israeli agents, not local hires, but Israeli agents, because these are very sensitive operations. And if that is true, it suggests to me how deep the Mossad penetration of Iran's security services goes, and how the kind of facility that they have been able to create operationally inside Iran. It's quite impressive. The U.S. has nothing like it.
Well, that's really speculative. I mean, is there any hard evidence that the Mossad is doing it? I mean, obviously, the Mossad is probably the most capable and probably the most motivated to do it, but is there any hard evidence that they're the ones who are doing it?
There is. Mayor Dagan, who was the Mossad director until Bibi Netanyahu fired him a number of years ago, was in charge of these operations, and he gave a going-away interview, a retirement interview, to something like 20 Israeli journalists in Tel Aviv. And he exposed many of these operations. His handler, although he was the Mossad director, his handler was absolutely shocked and told reporters afterwards this whole interview was off the record. He was the director of Mossad. So for him to be talking off the record is pretty extraordinary. But those things have filtered through into the Israeli press, and I think there's a great deal of credibility. He himself, he said, we had that program under constant threat because of taking out the scientists, because of Stuxnet, the computer virus that attacked the Iran's atomic centrifuges, the uranium enrichment centrifuges. So, yes, there is quite a bit of evidence on the public record of this.
Okay, I've got to stop you there. We are coming up on the first of the three breaks. There's four segments of the show, three breaks between them. This is the first one. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. As I mentioned before, Mayor Jolovitz returns. He'll be the host next Sunday. And I thank you for listening. I thank you for spreading the word about this show. But I really need your help to use the services of the advertisers. I've lost four advertisers in the last couple of months, and I can't continue the show if that continues to happen. So I really need you to please, please use the services of the existing advertisers and let them know that you're doing so because they advertise on this program. No advertisers, no Middle East Radio Forum, and you'll hear something else when you tune in on Sunday, and I don't think you want to do that. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with my very excellent guest, Kenneth Timmerman. Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885.
Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture is your go-to medical office in the West Valley. Call 623-214-7600. That's 623-214-7600. With two offices to serve you, there is no reason to stay in pain when Dr. Shuttleman may be able to help you. Call 623-214-7600 for Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale. Has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high volume
impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free, 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's very interesting edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest is Ken Timmerman, and Ken's actually become a very, very important guest on the show. He's been on very often, and I very much appreciate the fact that he's willing to be on the show. Ken, we were talking about the Iranians killing dissidents and the Israelis perhaps getting involved with doing what's necessary. The way I look at it is Iran has claimed that Israel is a small Satan. The United States is the great Satan. They're obviously working toward building atomic weapon inventory. Do you have to wait until they put the gun against your head and pull the trigger before you act? I don't think so, because then you're dead. Fill us in on that, would you please?
Well, let me just start with a premise. The Israelis have talked quite a bit about Iran's nuclear weapons programs, and then all of a sudden, and the danger that they pose both to Israel and to the Middle East. And then after a certain point, they go quiet. Right now, they're in somewhat of a quiet stage, and that's when I would suggest to you that they are actively planning military operations. The defense minister this week said that Iran now has five weapons worth of material. They have enough nuclear material, enriched uranium at 20 or 80%, to make five warheads, and they can do it in a matter of 10 to 12 days. The IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, says they have enough for four warheads. Whether it's four or five, it's enough to do tremendous damage. And I believe that Israel is actively preparing right now for ways that it can take it out. And it won't be by assassinating scientists. I think they have to take more kinetic action.
And, of course, they don't need missiles to develop them. All they have to do is take, like, a tramp steamer into Tel Aviv or Haifa Harbor and blow it up.
That's right. That's something I wrote about in that book that you quoted in the opening, Countdown to Crisis. They can be offshore, well outside of Israel's territorial waters. They can use an old generation Scud missile, which can carry a large warhead, so they don't have to miniaturize a warhead. And they can fire it from, you know, from off the coast of Cyprus or something like that, if that was their intention. And the Israelis know this.
Yeah,
they understand it.
In your book, they destroyed Washington, D.C., and that was a very, very significant thing that when I was reading it. Very, very frightening. Okay, let's shift a little bit here. Iran's been attacking shipping in the Persian Gulf. What does that show about the Biden administration? It just seems like the Biden administration is so weak compared to what Trump would have done. I mean, am I mistaken in that?
You're not mistaken in that. And so here's what's happened. About 10 days ago, we learned that a first tanker was essentially hijacked by the Iranians. It was hired by Chevron. They were bringing oil from Kuwait to Houston, of all places. Why were we importing oil from Kuwait to Houston? Well, it's because Biden has shut down a lot of oil production and exploration here in the United States. So instead of being fully energy independent, as we were when President Trump left office, now we are importing oil. So the Iranians took that tanker about 10 days ago. Then this past Wednesday, we learned, in fact, oh, no, there was a second tanker that they took also. This one was not carrying oil. It was flagged. It was registered in Panama. And I've written about this at the American Thinker this week. Panama is very significant because the United States government, again, I look at the Treasury Department as the one bright sign in this administration. The Treasury Department has worked with Panama over the past year to get them to deflag Iranian ships. They have deflagged 136 Iranian vessels. Now, what that means is that the Iranians then have to go change the names, they have to change the ownership structure, they have to re-register these ships in some other flag of convenience, whether it's Vanuatu or Belize or some other country. And it's a lot of effort, it's a lot of cost. So they attacked this Panamanian ship, and I believe that this was two strikes. It was a strike to show how impotent the United States is, and it was a strike against Panama for their actions against America. Against Iran, excuse me, their actions against Iran.
So Iran is basically engaging in international piracy. And, of course,
they
don't suffer any sanctions. They don't seem to suffer any sanctions for anything they do.
No. And, you know, during the Reagan administration or the Trump administration, we would have responded. For those of you who remember the Reagan administration in 1988, the Iranians were doing a similar kind of thing, planting mines in the Persian Gulf, and especially the Strait of Hormuz. Well, Ronald Reagan sailed two aircraft carriers into the Persian Gulf, launched aircraft and missiles and other, and sank one-third of the Iranian Navy in a single day. The Iranians didn't do that kind of attack for many, many years afterwards as a result. Fast forward to New Year's of 2020, so December 2019 and New Year's Day, the 2nd of January, 2020, when President Trump was in office. The Iranian-backed militias in Iraq had stormed the U.S. Embassy. President Trump immediately brought up several hundred U.S. Marines from Kuwait to reinforce the embassy so they couldn't get any further in their attack. And when he learned that that Qasem Soleimani and his people in the Revolutionary Guards Corps were gathering together a force of 25,000 militiamen to advance on the U.S. embassy, what did he do? He ordered a drone strike that took out Qasem Soleimani. Bang. That's what a strong president does. We now know that there have been 15 of these attacks on international shipping since Joe Biden took office, and the U.S. has done nothing. We do not even have an aircraft carrier bill to sail into the Gulf. We have 11 carriers left of the 16 carrier strike force that we had under President George W. Bush. 11 are left. There are only two of them on active duty. Both of them are in Asia. There's a third, the Ronald Reagan, on limited activity. It's basically sitting in off the coast of Tokyo. We do not have a carrier to sail into the Persian Gulf today, and the Iranians know it.
Well, what's the motivation of the Biden administration to basically be so weak?
Well, we used to have a 600 ship navy. Now we have a little bit under 300 ships, about 292, something like that. China now has a larger navy than we do, at least in terms of surface combat ships. They might not be as powerful as ours, but they have more ships and they're building more every day. Biden believes, as Obama believed before him, that the United States is not a force for good. That American strength is not a good thing for the world. It is evil in the world, and we should be dismantling American strength. And how do you do that? Well, you dismantle the military. You bring all kinds of crazy people into the military. You use transvestites to advertise for the U.S. Navy, for example. Think what that does to the ordinary American men and women who go into the armed forces to serve their country. It acts as a huge deterrent. That's why all of the branches of our military are something like 25% down in their recruitment targets, because Biden is going out of his way to make the U.S. armed forces a sissified military.
So what you're saying basically is Biden and Obama are trying to basically destroy the United States as a military power.
Yes, they do not want us to be the predominant military power in the world, and they're very happy to share that with China, not so much happy to do it with Russia, but Russia's around, they can't avoid it. But yes, they do not want us to be the predominant military power in the world, even though we have kept the peace as that sole superpower for the past 30 years since the end of the Cold War.
Okay, we'll explore that a little bit more when we come back. We are coming on the second break of today's show. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. And as I've mentioned before, if you can't use the services of the advertisers, direct donations are welcome. I got a donation from Chicago this last week. I thank you very much for that. You can send me a check. Send it to William J. Wolfe at my office, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix 85020. Again, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix 85020. I very much appreciate it. This is a brokerage show. I have to pay for it every week. And the only way I'm able to do it is because I have advertisers and donations. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
I am William Wolfe, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on the show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale. Has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini-mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I am William Wolfe, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolfe.
Welcome back to today's very important edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolfe. I'm your host today. I apologize for my scratchy voice. I'll do the best I can. My guest is Kenneth Timmerman. And Ken, was there something further you wanted to say before I ask another question?
Well, I do want to get to what's going on with Saudi Arabia and Iran. I think it's significant that the Chinese have come in. I think that this is another example of the United States essentially creating a power vacuum in the Middle East that we allow our adversaries to occupy. So you now have China playing the role of peacemaker between Iran and Saudi Arabia as the United States pushes Saudi Arabia away from us and into China and the arms of the Chinese.
Well, you know, the whole thing, it seems like the government of the United States confuses me. I mean, don't the leaders of the United States love their children? Don't they want a better world? Do they really think there'll be a better world if they just demur and don't do anything militarily and allow China basically to become the leader of the world?
Well, Bill, we're going to learn this coming Wednesday when James Comer, the House Republican head of the Oversight Committee from Kentucky, holds a press conference and it reveals new information about the Biden's corruption and the money he and his family have taken from communist China in exchange for policy decisions. That is the big thing here, in exchange for policy decisions. So I think part of this is pure venality. It's old-style corruption. I will give you favors for money. And, oh, by the way, we'll launder that money through a dozen LLCs and through different banks, so it doesn't appear like it's going to me. But I'm the only one, me, Joe Biden, I am the only one in a position to make those policy concessions to you. And James Comer is going to reveal a number of those this coming Wednesday, so stay tuned for that.
Are you saying that being on a government salary for the last 50 years is not sufficient to become a multi-millionaire and have houses all over the world?
No, Bill, it is not. And, even as vice president, he was not earning enough to satisfy his lifestyle. Remember, Hunter was complaining that he had to give half of his money to the big man, half of his salary for many years to support his father's lifestyle. So, and where was Hunter getting his money? From Ukraine, from Russia, from communist China, and other adversaries of the United States of America.
So Hunter was basically using his incredible expertise in energy development for the good of his father?
For the good of the client, and the clients would then get favors from his father. And remember, Joe Biden himself admitted this at the Brookings Institution a couple of years ago when he was talking about U.S. loan guarantees to Ukraine. And he said, I came there, I demanded that they fire a certain prosecutor. What was that prosecutor doing? He was looking into Burisma, the company that had hired Joe Biden's son. And I said, if you don't fire that prosecutor, you're not going to get the $1 billion of loan guarantees. And he was there, and he said, and son of a bitch, you know what happened? They fired the prosecutor, and they got the loan guarantees. If that's not a quid pro quo, I really don't know what it means.
So was that a perfect call?
That was a perfect call. That was a perfect video presentation by Joe Biden, ripe for any federal prosecutor. None took him up.
Okay.
None took it up.
Okay, let's move on, unless there's something else you want to comment on. Let's talk about your understanding of Iran's atomic weapons program and recent Israeli statements about this. I mean, the Israelis obviously have wonderful intelligence, and they're really on the forefront because they're so close to Iran, much farther than the great state in the United States. What do you know about that?
First, let me just say this. The Mossad owns the Iranian nuclear weapons program. They own it. They know almost more about it than the Iranians themselves. It's absolutely stunning. And we've mentioned this before on the show, but it's worth repeating. When Mossad managed to steal the entire nuclear weapons archive from Iran, it had been stored in a nondescript warehouse in the southern suburb of Tehran. Not only did the Israelis locate the warehouse, they got into it, and then they were able to pick these giant bank vaults. The documents were held in bank vaults. They picked the lock of these bank vaults and got out something like 500 file boxes of documents and got them out and into Israel. And the Iranians didn't notice a thing until Bibi Netanyahu held up some of those documents at the UN Security Council 2.5 years ago and said, this is what the Iranians are doing. They haven't stopped their nuclear weapons program. Here is their nuclear weapons program. So Israel has got just amazing intelligence on a nuclear weapon.
Of course, heavy intelligence doesn't mean you're doing anything about it. And let's explore that when we get back. I'm a slave to the computer here. We're coming up on the next break. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. As always, please help me bring the show to you by using the services of the advertisers. I can't believe I've lost 4 advertisers in the last couple of months. Meat Patio. I've lost Texas Grill. I lost Bamboo Asian Kitchen, and I've lost Document Solutions. They would be with me now if they were getting more business from the advertisers. So please help me not lose the rest of my advertisers. Use their services and tell them you're doing so because they advertise on this program. If you want to stop by Texas or Meat Patio, ask them why they stopped advertising, because you think it's very important that they do so. In any event, please stay with us. We'll be right back with Ken Timmerman in the final segment of today's show.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
You're listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@aol.com. That's radioforum@aol.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's very interesting and very important edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. I'm your host today. My guest is Ken Timmerman. This is a wonderful opportunity to call in and ask a question of a real expert in the area of really existential problems regarding Iran and its atomic weapons program. Ken, you talked about how the Mossad knows probably more than the leadership of Iran, but that's not stopping them developing the atomic weapons. And all it takes is one, basically, and Israel's finished. What do you think Israel is going to be able to do to prevent that?
Well, my guess, and again, we're all guessing here, but my guess is that Israel is going to launch a kinetic attack, an actual military strike on Iranian nuclear weapons facilities. They're going to try to destroy the nuclear material destroy the centrifuges that they use to make it. And I expect that will happen relatively soon. There was a lot of buzz about this in February. You and I talked about it at the time. And since then, a lot of quiet. And I always say, when the Israelis go quiet, you know that they are preparing. They're preparing to do something.
Yeah, but a lot of the facilities are buried deep in mountains. I suppose they could knock out the entrances and exits to get to the equipment buried in the mountain. But it seems like Iran has had many, many years to perfect the protection of their program. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, they have, and you're right that they're buried facilities. But again, the Israelis can make sure that they stay buried, that they stay very deeply buried. And any time that the Iranians try to dig them out, they can hit them again. Obviously, it would be better if they had bunker-busting bombs from the United States. There have been some of these delivered to Israel, so those could be used in a possible strike. But I think that's where we're headed. I think the days of non-kinetic attacks, whether it's killing scientists or planning computer viruses in the Stuxnet program, I think those days are over, and Israel has no choice. They have no choice. With Iran about to possess 5 nuclear warheads, Israel cannot sit aside and wait for something to happen or wait for the United States to do something, especially with Joe Biden, who will do nothing about Iran.
Like I said, you know, someone puts a gun to your head and threatens to kill you, you don't have to wait for them to pull the trigger and put a bolt through your head before you act. That's too late. Let's take a call. Jock from Scottsdale. Jock, you're on the air with Ken Timmerman. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Timmerman, for being on again. It's a pleasure to hear your voice and your information. Since the U.S. has pulled out the weapons, as you mentioned before, from Israel, it's obvious that Tony Blinken, Biden, and Biden administration are not supportive of Israel. And based on the fact that Biden personally got the Saudi Arabia upset at us, and they've now negotiated some working agreements with the threat of Iran. It seems to have lessened with them. What's the impact of all of that, not only on Israel and the United States' lack of support, but on the United States' image nationwide and our strength and weakness?
Well, thank you, John, for that question. First, I don't think Biden really cares about an image of weakness. As long as he's woke, he feels he's strong. Many American Jewish leaders I speak to are aghast with Joe Biden. They say he's not an anti-Semite, but he's definitely anti-Israel. He is not a supporter of the state of Israel. He is not a supporter of Israel's right to defend itself. And this is something very, very serious, such a complete reversal from what we had under President Trump. So I am very worried, and I'm worried that Israel will have to go it alone in any strike on Iran. And I'm also worried what Biden and Tony Blinken and others in his administration will do to retaliate against Israel.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. Let's assume Israel does go militarily full bore against Iran. Is the United States just going to sit on the sidelines? I mean, the United Nations, of course, is going to condemn Israel. I mean, they've already got the condemnation printed out and ready to go, I'm sure. What do you think the United States will do?
Well, that is my big fear, Bill, is that the United States and the Biden administration actually condemns Israel and, for example, pulls out military resupply. Yoni talked about that a little bit in the intro here, whether they do worse than this and that they sanction Israel. I'm very concerned about that. And unfortunately, I don't see many Democrats in Congress who are going to go up against the Biden administration if they do decide to punish Israel. I think that is a true tragedy. The Democrat Party has not been anti-Israel in the past, but I think that is where they are headed. And I think it's a tragic development and something that was totally avoidable.
Okay, I've got an email question from Sam in Brooklyn. He says, will Israel use nukes against Iran if necessary?
I think Israel's policy has always been, as Shimon Peres said, 30 years ago, Israel will not be the first one to introduce nuclear weapons in the Middle East. But they won't be the second either. So I don't think that they would use nuclear weapons preemptively. I think that's pretty clear. And I do not think they would use nuclear weapons unless it's clear that the Iranians are about to use them against Israel. But remember, Israel does not have to use nuclear weapons to take out those facilities. They can use bunker-busting bombs as long as they have enough of them that they've gotten from the United States, and they can certainly bury them forever. So they do not need to use nuclear weapons, and I certainly don't think Israeli leaders would like to.
Okay, well, obviously they don't want to, but what if they find that the conventional weapons are just not sufficient, and they're fearing that Iran is going to use atomic weapons against Israel? I mean, is that enough for them to actually use them, or are they going to wait until Iran uses theirs, but then it probably would be too late?
Well, my understanding of Israeli doctrine is that they would wait. If you look at the 1973 war, Golda Meir was preparing to use nuclear weapons when she thought the state of Israel was at risk, that they were going down, and it was only that last-minute resupply from the United States during the Nixon administration that gave her confidence and gave her military leaders confidence that they did not have to pull that trigger. It's the kind of thing that I don't think any leader in a democratic country, in a free country, in a country that respects the voice of its people, wants to take. And I don't see Israel's leaders using nuclear weapons lightly, easily, or as anything but the very, very, very last resort.
Okay, so Israel had atomic weapons in 73, 50 years ago. I can imagine that they are so much more sophisticated, we can't even understand what their arsenal must be at this point. Doesn't that fact give pause to some of these other countries, knowing that Israel probably has these advanced atomic weapons, including, I would assume, hydrogen bombs?
Well, look, the Iranian leadership doesn't reason with a cost-benefit analysis. We've seen this over and over again. If they did reason, as we do, they would have given up their nuclear weapons program decades ago. They were offered by the Russians in 1995 a full nuclear fuel supply program for their single nuclear power reactor for something like $15 million over 30 years. They could have had all the nuclear fuel that they wanted to power that reactor. They didn't want it. They spent billions, and they lost $150 billion of lost oil revenue just to maintain a nuclear weapons program. So they do not reason, Bill. They do not reason the way we do.
Okay, you're a historian, and they say you can't understand the future unless you know the past. I'm not going to ask you to take out a crystal ball, but use your expertise in understanding history, what's going on now. What do you project forward for the next year, 2 years, even 5 years?
Well, I think there will be an Israeli strike on Iran. I think Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states will be overjoyed and overwhelmingly supportive of Israel. My fear, again, is what the Biden administration will do. Look, Joe Biden has based his foreign policy on being anti-Trump. So if Trump was able to negotiate the Abraham Accords, Biden will walk away from them as fast as he possibly can. It's really extraordinary. In this conflict in Sudan, which nobody talks about, I listened to the NSC spokesman, Admiral Kirby, this past week, talk about how horrible it was and the U.S. was going to impose sanctions, but he never mentioned the word Abraham Accords. Sudan joined the Abraham Accords as one of the great accomplishments of President Trump, and having this conflict there now between the Janjaweed, the Islamist militias, and the government is a big step backwards. But no, Biden doesn't care about that whatsoever. He is the anti-Trump, and that is enough. Is not enough, Bill, to make a foreign policy.
So what you're saying is Biden's hatred of Trump is enough to cause him to allow the world to fall apart, in effect.
Alas, that's what I'm saying. But I'm also saying in a hopeful vein that the Saudis and most of the Persian Gulf states, or the Arabian Gulf states, if you prefer, will take the side of Israel in this conflict. They will be happy to see Iran weakened. They would love to see the mullahs taken out. And don't forget, just recently, Reza Pahlavi, the one of the leaders of the pro-freedom movement in Iran, in exile, right, the son of the former Shah, He was in Israel. He went to the Western Wall. He prayed at the Western Wall. He spoke with Israeli leaders. Look, the movement against the mullahs is very strong. It is broad-based. It goes from communists, believe it or not, on the left, to monarchists on the right, and all kinds of nationalists and ethnic groups in between. So I am actually hopeful that that movement could succeed. If they had a little help from their friends, it would go faster.
Can you explain a little bit about the animosity between Iran and the Arab states? I mean, Iran, they are not Arabs, they're Persians, and I think that's a very important distinction.
It is an important distinction, but it is not the only one. There's the Sunni-Shia divide, which is very real, although Iran has shown that it will cooperate with Sunni terrorist groups when it comes to killing Americans and killing Jews. They support Hamas, they supported the Taliban, they supported Al-Qaeda in the 9/11 attacks. So it's not just this Sunni-Shia divide. It is also cultural, and it is also power. The Saudis, in particular, know, they see, that the Iranian regime, this Islamic state of Iran, wants to control the entire region. They want to control the oil supplies. 20% of the world's oil transits every day through the Strait of Hormuz. And that is something that the Iranians control. The Saudis are very uncomfortable with that. They would like to see Iran's grip on the Persian Gulf weaken.
And basically, they see Israel as the only way to do that.
And they say Israel is the only way of doing that. They have lost. Look, Biden has so thoroughly alienated the Saudi government. He has pushed them quite literally into the arms of both the Russians and the Chinese. It's something I never would have thought possible just 3 years ago, and yet it happened so quickly. It shows you how an administration, how quickly they can take a wrecking ball to American national security and America's interests. It's astonishing how fast it is gone.
Okay, Ken, we're about at the end of the show. I want to give you a minute or two to get into anything that you haven't had a chance to talk about.
Well, thank you, Bill, for this opportunity. And I invite all of our listeners to come to my website, kentimmerman.com. It's just my name. You'll find there's a pop-up there, so you can sign up for my once-weekly email. I don't sell the emails. I talk about these subjects. I talk about international security, sometimes domestic threats as well. You can also find out more about my latest book, And the Rest is History, Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks, and Spies. It's a memoir of 20 years working as a war correspondent in the Middle East, and it tells you my personal story, how I became a hostage, an arms dealer, and an Israeli spy. And they're all true stories, and some of them will have you laughing out loud, and others will just have you shaking your head how it could ever have happened.
Okay, if you ever want to do a show on your book, we're certainly willing to do that. I'd leave that up to you.
Thank you, Bill. That's very kind of you.
And I appreciate your being on the show very much. Ken Timmerman, give them your website again one more time.
So kentimmerman.com, kentimmerman.com, just my name. And you know, if you miss it, you can just Google me. I'm everywhere present on the internet.
Absolutely. Ken, I very much appreciate you being on the show multiple times. I will absolutely ask you to come on again. You always have wonderful information to share with us. Maybe I shouldn't say wonderful information. I should say important information, because a lot of it's not so wonderful. But thank you very much for being on. We'll have you on again, obviously. Appreciate it very
much. Thank you, Bill. And your show is a blessing. God bless.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're about at the end of the show. Next Sunday, Mayor Jolovitz, as I said, returns. Mayor's going to talk about while its so-called friends are playing the Israelis for fools, why are so many in Israel ostensibly cooperating? As you know, if you've listened to Mayor before, he's got a wonderful analysis of world events, especially regarding Israel. Please spread the word about this show. Let other people know about it. There may be one or two people in the world who just don't know about the show yet. So get to those one or two people so that everybody can listen. The show is available worldwide on the website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. You also have the podcast 24/7. Many, many old shows, probably 200-300 are available. And, of course, the show is rebroadcast every Saturday evening at 9 p.m. on this station. It's so popular that they want to do that. But please, please continue to help me bring the show to you by using the service of the advertisers. Very, very important to do. Otherwise, I have no show. The direct donations, of course, are welcome. You can send me a check, William J. Wolfe, at my office, 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203, Phoenix, 85020. But the best way to support the show is by using the services of the advertisers, because they're with me every single week. As I've said, I've lost 4 advertisers. I can't afford to lose any more. And if you know anybody who might like to advertise on the show, let me know. I will contact them. Not shy about that at all. In any event, thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading the word about Middle East Radio Forum. And thank you for supporting the show. I look forward to being with you a couple of weeks from now. Mayor will be with you next Sunday. Have a pleasant day.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.